Oh my God, we're on it twice in a row.
I know, twice in a row.
And you left off to the other guy, you know, not realizing you gave your own Yetzirah.
I was going to say, right? All right.
Showtime.
All right, so we're going to start the Afghan test. Let you know that this weekly shiur for Masech HaSuk is sponsored by Yitzwai CPA. Shake things up a little bit this tax season. And the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. Mm-hmm. Not granddaughters, but I don't want to incur any sibling rivalry amongst the Jaime grandchildren or the granddaughters. A number of people have mentioned to me, first of all, they're happy to see me 2 weeks in a row, and I'm happy to be here 2 weeks in a row. And little disclaimer, I was actually planning to come without giving the shiur today. And the other thing, the disclaimer, is that everybody mentioned how much I said that the next Magid shiur would squirm having to deal with the end of Yud Ches Amud Beis. So two things. First of all, you always have to be careful what you're going to wish for, because the Magid shiur turned out to be me. And thankfully, it's not as much as a squirm as I thought it was going to be. But, you know, the truth is, you always got to be careful what you wish for, and I'm not going to say whether I really wanted to come and see Rabbi Glasser squirm or not, because I like Rabbi Glasser too much to do that, so we're not going to do that. And he actually had the mental kite on the way to visiting day to call me and thank me for doing this, so as usual, I don't think we need the real endorsement that Rabbi Glasser is a mensch, but yes, he was very mensch up with it.
Yeah, Rabbi Glasser would just... last week he decided to schedule those a day. Rabbi
Glasser would just scrimmed, he just sort of faked it.
Right.
A few jokes and went on.
Okay, so what did we leave off last week? Last week we left off, we were talking about the sukkah and the achsandra. The achsandra is the area where you have, let's say, this overhang going around all four sides. And we're going to be starting on Yud Ches Amud Beis. Towards the middle, it's going to be... really, literally in the middle of the daf, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down, where it says Lema Abayev Rava. That's where we're going to be starting. But just to keep to where we were, so we have this case of this sukkah in an achsadra. The achsadra is like this area that kind of overhangs around. And the Mishnah said that as long that we know this achsadra is made of material that cannot be used for schach. Let's say it's made out of bricks. Let's say it's made out of boards that are way too wide to be schach. It says as long as that the length of those boards, the width of those boards is less than 4 amos, we can go and say dof and akuma and allow that to be considered to be part of the walls. The one thing is the Gemara brought down a machlokas as to whether it's kosher only if there are like little beams coming down from the boards, or whether if it's just like total open space. And that brought us down to a machlokas between Abaye and Rava. Abaye said, it is kosher. Rava said, it's not kosher. Abaye said it's kosher because we applied this term, this concept called Pitikra Yorid Besosim, which said that basically the area of the ceiling, as long as it's a tefach thick, we view it literally as if it's like coming down. It's actually the opposite, according to many Rishonim, of what we spoke about with Good Osik. If we remember with Good Osik, we said that if you have a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, we view it as if it goes all the way up, even though physically it might not go all the way up, but in the halachic world, it views it as going all the way up. Pitikra Yorid Besosim is the opposite. As long as it's a tefach, we view it as if it goes all the way down. So Abaye said that you can go ahead and do this for areas with all three sides of the sukkah, could be koshered through this mechanism of Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. Rava said it could only work for one. Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to be analyzing this machlokas, reanalyzing it, again with Abaye saying it can work on all three sides, and Rava saying it can only work probably on one side conceivably, but not for all three. And we're going to be doing it by comparing and contrasting our machlokas with another one. Now, I believe I sent the pictures to the group. Just make sure. Did you guys get pictures from me today? Okay, so let's go ahead.
It feels like there's a thing called machshava mitzarif lemaase.
It's almost like that, yeah.
So when it comes to sukkah, everything is machshava mitzarif. You have a half a wall, it's mitzarif. You have just a little bit of schach, it's mitzarif. There's a lot of...
So I remember I've heard Rabbi Glasser say this a couple of times. He quoted Rav Kook. He was saying that, you know, we have all these coolers when it comes to sukkah. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for all these coolers, you know, it's right after Rosh Hashanah, and it's kind of like what Hashem is kind of telling us is like, you give me a little bit, and I'm going to kind of like stretch it out for you. Meaning we don't need perfection, and we just need a little bit of trying, and I'll take you as you are, and I'll help you grow in this. Yeah, this is a – I remember hearing Rabbi Glasser say this in the old YIPC sukkah, which also relied on probably a lot of these coolers and the one that was in the alleyway, which you probably were not fortunate enough to see it.
I didn't.
But
we just count the train if it went by.
You know what's called? You'd also like hold on to the walls when the train went by also, you know, so everything like everything else we used to do. Okay. So if you look at the first picture that we sent, let me just get this right over here. Okay. It kind of looks like you have basically four columns, the four beams, and just like a roof over it. It's kind of like that particular area. Like sometimes you might see people build in their backyard or for like a carport or something like that. So this is the case that that we're going to be seeing is a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to say, Lema Abaye Varava Biplugsa de Rav Shmuel Kamifligi. Perhaps we're saying that maybe Abaye and Rava are included or are arguing the same concept that Rav and Shmuel are arguing. The Ismar, as we said, Achsadra Bebika, if you have this Achsadra in the middle of a valley. So, the only thing you have is four columns, and you have a roof over it, and there's nothing else. There's no walls around it or anything like that. And there's no space either. There's no wall space whatsoever. There's just a covering. So, Rav Amar Mutar L'Taltel B'Kulo. Rav says you could carry in the whole area under the roof, even though there are no physical walls. What Rav is going to tell us is, you say, P'tikras, so Yorid V'Sosim, and the area, the edge of the roof is going to literally seal up the entire place. So it's like the entire area is sealed up with four walls, even though there's actually not a single physical wall there. So that's what Rav's going to say, right? Rav Amar Mutar L'Taltel B'Chula D'Amrin and P'tikra Yorid V'Sosim. U'Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Ein b'taltelin ba ela b'dalet amos. Shmuel says you can only carry four amos in there, which is another way of saying you can't carry it all, because the truth is, and the rule is that normally you can't carry more than four amos in an area. So it's basically saying that Rav is going to be saying that this area is sealed, and Shmuel says it's not going to be sealed. D'lo amrinan pi tikra yorid v'sosim. So what are we going to try to do over here? We're going to see that in our case, Rav, in this case over here, Rav is Mekel, and he applies the kul of Pi Tikra on all the sides, and Shmuel is Machmir. So the thought is to line up Rav, who's Mekel by Shabbos, with Abaye, who's Mekel by Sukkah, and put Shmuel, who's Machmir by Shabbos, and line him up with Rava, who is Machmir by Sukkah. So what the Gemara is going to be doing right now is the Gemara says is, we can't necessarily do that, because the Gemara says, Aliba de Shmuel, Kuli Almalo Pligi, you cannot set this in as a machlokas, meaning you cannot fit in the machlokas between Abaye and Rava within the opinion of Shmuel. Now, why is this? So if you think about it for a second, there's a big difference between the case of Sukkah and the case of the Achsadra and the Bika that we're dealing with over here. By the case of the sukkah where you make the achsadra along the side, right? You have the walls, let's say, of like the building. There's the overhang. And then you put the slach on the overhang. What is the primary purpose of those walls? Is those primary purpose of the walls to provide protection for the area outside the building? Or is it really to provide protection for the area inside the building? The answer, of course, would be inside, right? You build a house, you put in the walls, right? The walls of the house are not really to provide protection for the people on the outside, but really for the inside. And what you're doing is, the halacha of this sukkah and the achsadra, what we ended up doing is saying that, yes, it can, just like it works for the inside, it can work for the outside too. In the case of the picture that we have of the sukkah or this achsadra in the middle of a valley, so the purpose of the overhang, or what you're trying to put the walls are, is for the inside. So the area that you're in is the primary purpose, or the walls are for that primary purpose for the area that you're in. When it comes to the sukkah, the real walls are not for the place that you're really in. So if you see over here that Shmuel is going to be, so which of the two cases would be the one which is more of a reason to be Mekel on? The one where you're using halachic walls for the area that the walls are supposed to protect, or you're using this halachic mechanism for an additional area, but not necessarily the primary purpose. So you would say it's for the primary purpose. And in case, even though parenthetically or logically, one might say that, no, the reason we should be more machmir by Shabbos, because Shabbos is stricter than Sukkah, which is not as strict, the truth of the matter is, there's more reason to be makil by the Shabbos over here, because the walls, or these halachic walls, are really for the achsadra inside, the place where you're going to be carrying, as opposed to by Sukkah. So what the Gemara is going to be saying is, Aliba de Shmuel, kuli yom alo pligi, we can't fit this machlokas Rav and Shmuel in, according to Shmuel, because if Shmuel is going to be me'achmir in the case where logic dictates that we should be makil, there's no room for anybody to be makil. So Shmuel could not fit into this machlokas. So yes, if you're going to go ahead and put Abaye's opinion, you're going to have to end up saying that Abaye and Shmuel really do argue. But as we go to the top of the next page, we're going to top of the daf, we're going to say ki pligi aliba de Rav. But within Rav, who allows you to carry within this achsadra and the bika, the picture that we mentioned, we could apply the machlokas between Abaye and Rav. What's going to happen? Abaye ki Rav. Abaye is going to hold like Rav. Rav is makel over here. Abaye is makel by Sukkah. Basically, we're just going to say Pitikra Yorid Vasosim every single place. Whether the mechitzos are for the purpose that you're using, or whether the mechitzos are not for the purpose and just using them agav. The Rav Amarlach, Rav is going to tell you, no, Ad kan lo ka'amar Rav hasam, ela mechitzos lachsadr hu davidi. That what? That Rav would say that, no, maybe I don't, maybe I can follow Rav in this case and be makel by Shabbos and still be machmir by Sukkah. How is that possible? That I can be makel by Shabbos and machmir by Sukkah? So I'm going to say the following. Ad kan lo ka'amar Rav hasam. Rav only said a kula by the achsadra by Shabbos, ela de mechitzos lachsadra hu davidi, because the walls that we're making are for the inside of the achsadra, they're for that particular place. So if that's the case, so yes, I can go ahead and be a mekel. And valhacha, to lav hachi avidi, but here by Sukkah, where the walls are not, where the mechitzos are not made primarily for the Sukkah, but they're really primarily made for the house, so then I wouldn't necessarily be makil. So what we basically did was take this machlokes of pitikra yorid v'sosim, and we were able to slice it up and to compartmentalize it into two different ideas. You have the case of our case by Sukkah, which is you're saying pitikra yorid v'sosim, that the mechitzos are going down, and we're using it. There's a question if you can use it for walls that are not for the purpose of the building itself, for using for not the purpose of the building, for the outside. And the case by Shabbos, where we're saying that you're using it for that actual inside as well. So we see it over here that we went ahead and took this machlokes, and through this analysis, we were able to go ahead and develop a further distinction in terms of how this machlokes is understood. Okay, getting back to what we said before, we now bring down a question on Rav. Okay, from our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Tanan, we said that as far as the halachos of Dofan Akuma are concerned, we're able to apply the case of Dofan Akuma in a case where you have this overhang. But as the Mishnah previously said, we could only apply the cool of the overhang when we're dealing with an area that's less than 4 amos. But if we're dealing with an area that's more than 4 amos, we wouldn't be able to apply the kula and allow the overhang to work. So in other words, what we're basically saying is that we're relying on Dofan Akuma and we're not relying on Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. Now, this is going to be problematic according to Abaye, because the Gemara asks, why should this be the case? Name a Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. If Abaye allows Pitikra for all of the sides of the Sukkah, so why should it make a difference whether the Achsadra is 4 amos long, 4 amos wide, or 10 amos wide? It shouldn't make a difference. You should be able to use the halacha of Pitikra and allow it to work. So what the Gemara does is the Gemara says, Tirgama Rava Aliba de Abaye. Here's an interesting thing over here. You have Rava going ahead and answering up a question for Abaye. You see that there's no personal thing. It's like me against him, I win versus you lose. I mean, we're familiar with that. You know, whenever you have machlokas, you know, Abaye and Rava, the halacha follows Abaye. It was a Rava, except for six different places. Here you see that Rav is being a good sport over here, and he's saying, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and fix up Abaye a little bit. I'll answer for him. I mean, the whole thing's not personal. Right? You could say that, you know. A cynic would say, like, he's won so many, what's the difference anyway? But we're not going to be cynical when it comes to Gemara. We're going to go ahead. Chas v'sholom, we should say that about Rava. Rava, what's it called? The real truth is what you really do see over here, joking aside, you see how machlokes, this is one of the things that, one of the first things is that when I start teaching Haschalos Mishnayos in school, so to me, it's a very exciting thing to do every year because you really get them at the beginning. So a lot of them have learned Mishnayos at some point with their fathers or learning groups or whatever it is there. And I always ask them, what's a machlokas? And they always tell me an argument that I said, it's absolutely not an argument. An argument is like a fight. I said, a machlokas is really more than one way to understand a halacha or a pasuk or a mishnah or something like that. And the truth is, I always show them an optical illusion or a pair of optical illusions on the board and show that, you know, it's not really that. You see a picture where, like, there's a famous one that we show. Was a picture. If you look at it one way, the lady looks like she's 30 years old. The other way, she looks like she's, like, 85 years old. And then what's it called? There's always one wise guy who says, you know, how old is she? And he writes, you know, 86, 1 year older than you. And, you know. So. I always appreciate the wise guys. But anyways.
By the way, I would have said that my focus is an argument also.
Right. That's what I'm saying. A lot of people do, right. So it's because, you know, that's the English translation. But we. But really, it's not, you know, because the whole purpose, it's not just to go ahead and fight it out. You know, we Jews, Baruch Hashem, have plenty of things to fight about. We found plenty of things to fight about besides for Torah. We don't need to go ahead and, you know, we don't fight over Torah. We fight about other stuff. But the idea is that, you know, just look at the optical illusion. You look at it from one end, oh, the woman looks like she's 80. You look at it from the other end, she looks like she's 30. And this is the same type of a thing over here. So the fact that a Rav is going ahead and answering up for Abaye, that's not really a big, that's, you know, this is just proving that point that we're not really out against each other. This isn't the fight to see who's going to win. This is just, you know, looking in terms of try to understand different ways to understand our halachos. So what does Rava do? So Tirgam Rava Liba Dabaye Kisha Hishva as Kiruv. So no, the case that our mission is talking about is where the schach is completely level with the achsadra. Now, I think I have that, actually, there is a, it looks like it's on the last set that I kind of sent you. I know, I apologize for not having them organized in order, but there is one picture where you have, the schach is actually over the achsadra. So one thing it says, Seer Aleph and Seer Beis, and they both came, one came in, they both came in at 855, if that makes a difference or helps out. And the other one is that where the schach is actually completely level with it. So in the area where the schach is completely level with the overhang, which would be like right over here, let me give it a little tap, when the schach is completely level with the overhang, so then you can't say pitik or yoreid v'sosim because pitik...
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking about...
I have it here too. We can
turn
the next one.
This one and this one. Those two right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hold them up.
Yeah, hold up. Get better. There you go.
Just take a picture.
Right, just, no, bring it back. Hold it. That's perfect. Yeah.
Now I see you.
Yeah, I'm
going with a different
contract. Okay, there you go. So, see, it's the two on top over there. Now, we're not gonna go ahead and go into this little, open up the Pandora's box and say that, yes, we understood the picture, the case better by looking at the picture in the book as opposed to with the thing sent through the WhatsApp and the picture on the technology that we don't know. Open up that little can of worms over there. But, yeah, it seems like the book seems to, as usual, do a better job than the technology. But in that first case that you have over there, so when the schach is on top of the achsadra, so then you could apply p-ticker, because p-ticker means there has to be somewhat of an area where you actually see the wall going down. You have at least a tefach of wall space. In our case that you have over here, that we're talking about in the Mishnah, where it's four, you need four amos or not, you can't apply p-ticker, that's because it's exactly level. And you don't see that distinction. You need to be able to see part of the wall coming down in order to apply p-ticker. So that's why we will be able to answer up that question on the Mishnah and not have a problem according to Abaye. Okay. Gemara continues. We're seven lines from the top, and we said, Besura, Masala Hashmaisa Bahalishna. This is how they learned the Machlokas Abayin Rava in the yeshivas of Surah. The Pumpedisa, which is another major Babylonian city, Masni, they learned the Machlokas Abayin Rava differently. They learned the following. It says, Sike Chalgabi Achsadra She'en La Pitsimim Divri Akol Pitsula. That if you go ahead and you put tzchach on an achsadra without any beams going around it on the overhang, then the entire sukkah is pasul. And basically, this entire discussion of Yud Ches Amud Beis till now is totally invalid because, according to the people of Pumpedisa, doesn't work. Sika, however, Yesh Lapitzimim, if it does have beams, Abaya Amar Keshera and Rav Amar Psula. Abaya Amar Keshera, why does Abaya allow it? Because Amrinan Lavod, because we apply the halacha of Lavod. Meaning, as long as the beams that are coming down are within three tefachim of each other, so then that will make up the wall, and that should work. Rav Amar Psula, Lo Amrinan Lavod. Rav is going to say we don't say Lavod. Now, of course, that's a little bit, I know, I have people looking at me strange. We've been saying Lavod as his halacha Moshe Misani the entire way. So how is it that the Gemara is over here saying that Rava doesn't hold of Lavod? You know, we were talking about Rava has this whole entire concept of, you know, halacha always follows him. Yeah, but to go ahead and have Rava argue on a halacha Moshe Misani, or the Gemara to say that Rava doesn't follow, and we've seen so many instances of Lavod, it's almost like part of our vernacular, if we would play like a taboo and you hear the word sukkah, probably everybody from the shir would say the first thing comes from sukkah, you would say, Lavod. Yeah. Or maybe not, but people would say probably more like hop. But okay. But anyways, the truth is, what exactly are we talking about? So if you look at the Rashi where it says, Ravam Rapsula, Rashi explains what they're talking about over here. And Rashi says, the Lavod Lav Mechitzahi, that Lava does not allow something to become a complete mechitza, but rather it's a halacha Moshe Misinai that things are going to be sealed up. And what does it do? It seals up a hole over something that's already been established as part of mechitza. That meaning, if you have something which is a physical wall and there's a little bit of a gap, so then you can go ahead and either say it gets sealed up or you can say that it gets kind of moved together. But in order to go ahead and say that, oh, these four little beams are like you're making the thing like strings, and to say that, oh, we're going to put Lavod here and Lavod here to actually create something via Lavod, that's something Rav is not going to say. So what Gemara is really doing, Rashi is really explaining, is that, you know, of course, Rav does hold of Lavod. But what Rav is doing is he's modifying the concept. And he's saying, Lavod isn't just a free-for-all, right? It means you can't just go ahead and create something with Lavod.
Right.
Lavod,
it's to basically squeeze the gaps.
Correct. It's to squeeze the gaps or to fill in the holes. But there has to be something there. You can't just go ahead and, like, you know, Lavod is a blank check. And whatever you want to go ahead and do, just say Lavod, 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 and have a teeny little, you know, bits of space, or just using, you know, wires, and just say put wires within three tefachim of each other, and then go ahead and make that into mechitza. Now, the reason why we shouldn't think this is, well, I don't really want to discuss this too much further, because the Gemara says v'hilchasa kelishnikam. The halacha follows the original lashon, the first, you know, the first phrase of the Gemara, and because it follows the first phrase of the Gemara, so in that case, it's just not going to, we're not going to be following this nogeya. And really, this is not the machlokes in Abaye and Rav. And really, we can use Lavod to go ahead and create walls. And if you ever see sometimes at the sukkahs that they come with these little bands that you can go ahead and make straight across, or people who have, let's say, like a canvas type of sukkah, and they're concerned about the wall shaking. So some of the companies now have put these little straps that kind of makes your sukkah look like a boxing ring or wrestling or something. You know. Some families don't actually need to do that between all the siblings that they have sitting around the table and stuff like that. There's enough fighting. You don't need to be in the actual ring to go ahead and have the visual effect. Some people probably would not prefer that. It's like, you know, oh, just giving the kids more of an opportunity to fight. It's like, wow, we're in a ring. Of course we're going to be doing it. But the reason why they do that is to go ahead and create the walls of your sukkah through, again, Lavod, and then good asik, and we put all that, and then we put all the things together, and that's how it's going to work. Okay. Let's just continue on a little bit further. So now we have Rav Ashi, Ashkechei le Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi's found Rav Kahana to come Misake Chagabe Achsadra She'en la Pesimim. Uh-oh. So Rav Ashi finds Rav Kahana, who did what we were talking about. He has a sukkah where he's using the Achsadra as the overhang, and there were no beams, and we were applying Pitikra Yorid Vesosim on all three sides. And, of course, that is following Abaye and not following Rava, which, of course, is problematic because we know when there's a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, the halakha always follows Rava. So, Amar Le, Lo Sover Lamar, Hada Amar, so Lo Sover Mar, do you not hold Hada Amar Rava, Yesh La Petsimen Keshera, Ein La Petsimen Pesula? Don't you hold that? If it doesn't have those beams going down, it's not going to be good. So achvele, so no. So Rav Ashi said, Rav Kahana said, of course I hold of that. But he showed him something that Rav Kahana didn't, that, I'm sorry, Rav Kahana showed Rav Ashi something that Rav Ashi didn't see. Achvele, nira mi bifnim, vishava mi bechutz. On the outside, it looked like the schach was totally level with the achsadra. In that case, you're right. You wouldn't be able to say pitikra, but if on the inside, there was a little bit of an overhang. See if that's in the Archgos. He has some pictures of that also. There was a little bit of an area going down. And he said that it was called, as long as you have one area going down, it doesn't have to be visible on both sides. As long as the area, as long as you have a little bit of a pitikra, yored, that's visible to you, that's not going to be a problem. The issue is when you have no pitikra yored. So in this case, the pitikra was near mi bifnim, shav mi bechutz, and as long as it was visible on the inside, that wasn't going to be a problem. Inami, or another possibility was near mi bechutz v'shav mi bifnim. It could be that Rav Ashi went into the sukkah and he saw the sukkah was totally level. But if he would have gone outside, he would have seen that there was a little bit of pitikra that was yored, and that's also fine, because as we say, the ismar, nira mi bechutz v'shav mi bifnim, if the sukkah is visible, I'm sorry, if the korah, this is actually talking about a lechi, and it says if the korah is visible on the outside, but an equal on the inside, or, I'm sorry, nira mi bechutz v'shav mi bifnim, nido mishum lechi, it's considered to be a lechi. A lechi is a little boar that allows you to carry in a chatzar, allows you to carry in a mavui. The lechi, hainu petzimim, and this is going to have the same halacha as the petzimim. So again, the chiddush that the Gemara is teaching us over here is that when we're talking about pitikra, yorid v'sosim, it doesn't only have to be visible to everybody. As long as it works on one particular side, that's also going to be okay. All right, now we get to the final sugya before the Mishnah takes place, and this is going to be what we call Psal Hayotze Min HaSukkah. And, yeah.
For the Yorei, is it just, does it have to be at least a Tefach or just a Mashahu?
I believe it's a Tefach. I believe pretty much it's a Tefach. Okay. So it says over here, we bring a case, we bring a Mishnah, it says Tana, Psal Hayotze Min HaSukkah, Nidon Kesukkah. Psal, which will just translate how we've been translating Psal all the time, and that is Tzchach, that comes out of the Sukkah, is viewed as a Sukkah. This is a very, very ambiguous statement. And because it's such an ambiguous statement, there are actually going to be four different understandings of the Amoraim as to actually understand this. So let's go ahead and dig in. So Amar Ula, so my Psal Hayotzim in a Sukkah, what exactly does this mean? So Amar Ula, it's Kanim Hayotzim La'achorei HaSukkah. Is that what? Picture the scene, you build a Sukkah, and again, probably it's more like in the era of bamboo poles as opposed to bamboo mats, because bamboo mats don't usually do this, but you actually have a big overhang. And overhanging your sukkah, you have plenty of bamboo poles. And we're saying that the area that's overhanging your sukkah is considered to be part of your sukkah as well. So if you, let's say, built a sukkah this wide, and you have these really long bamboo poles, and these bamboo poles are sticking over here, I'm just thinking about the sukkah that my parents used to build in our little driveway where we had these, it was a 6-foot wide sukkah and like 10-foot wide bamboo poles. So we really had, the bamboo poles were actually not only overhanging up, they're actually overhanging into my neighbor's backyard a little bit, which they didn't really care so much, but that was kind of, you know, so if you would go under that particular area, that would be considered to be part of the sukkah.
So technically, you can put a bar table over there with chairs and eat.
Technically, yeah. So we're going to say now the Gemara
from the outside.
From the outside. So the Gemara is going to qualify this because they're going to say, "Wait a second, what do you mean?" Right.
You don't have the walls.
Ah, so that's what Gemara's going to ask right there. Right. That's what Gemara's going to ask right there. That's the whole question. So it says, wait a second.
Your father didn't have a saw?
Huh? He might have had a saw, but I don't know if he really knew how to use it. My father knew how to use a telephone to call somebody, how to use the saw. That was pretty much his... He was many things, but he was not very handy, and he would have told me that too. So, okay. All right. So anyways, it says, V'habi'in on shalosh tefonos, but don't you need three walls? Right. He could be sitting in this area of his lap, but there's no walls. So the Gemara says, no, but the Ikka, there are three walls. So it says, okay, V'habi'in on heksher sukkah, but you need measurements. You need 7x7 tefachim. You say, oh, but the Ikka, there is 7x7 tefachim. It says, V'habi'in on silasim ruba mechamasa, but you need a certain amount of schach for it to work. So it says, but the Ikka. So the Gemara says, Yachi mala memra, so what are you bothering me? You have the walls, you have the dimensions, you have the schach. Of course, this is going to be good. Well, you're hocking me a chinik over here. So the Gemara says, no. Okay, right. Actually, they didn't ask hocking a chinik.
The structure is very fascinating.
Yeah, I'm saying, right? Yeah, it's almost like that, right? Yeah. So you're hocking Milo Mamre, right? It's almost like you can see the Moraim kind of like yelling at each other and stuff like that. Even though, you know, hocking a chinik, talking Yiddish, they probably did not do. Contrary to what people think, Yiddish was at Matan Torah, but. Okay, so Mao de Sema. No, so you might have thought that because the walls that you're making were really for the inside of the sukkah and not for the outside of the sukkah, so kamash malon, that we're not worried about that.
The walls of the
sukkah. So that's actually going to be a machlokas Rashi and Tosos over here. So we'll get to that in a second. But
there could be a scenario where somebody built it and it's like, oh, I'm making the dimensions bedavka to have a 3 feet overhang of the bamboo so we could sit on the outside.
100%. The Gemara is saying over here that you don't even need to do that. I mean, the Gemara is saying that even agav, if it happens, that's going to be okay. But yeah, that for sure is going to be an issue. That's for sure is going to be okay. So the question when Emil just brought up is in terms of, so what exactly what we have here? Is it the schach? Is it the walls? So Rashi is the one that says that, oh, if you made a wall for the inside, we can count the wall for the outside also. So that's what Rashi says. So Tosos comes and says, what are you talking about, Rashi? This is the case of Achsadra. This is what we've just been talking about the entire time, right? Where you have the walls built for the building on the other side. And then, yeah, Agav, you're using it over here. So that's what Rashi asks. So that's what Tosos asks on Rashi. So there are Mefarshim that explained for Rashi, we were saying that, you know, there's a difference. Because when you build a permanent, between building a permanent wall, kind of like the wall for a house, versus building a sukkah wall. And one might think that, you know, if you're building a permanent wall, you're realizing that the wall is going to be using not only for the inside, but it's going to be sticking around for the outside as well. If you're building a sukkah and the wall is just there for 7 days, you might not think that we can use it for all different types of purposes. So that is what the Gemara is coming to tell us, and that's why this case is a little bit different than what you said before. Now, what Emil was talking about, the schach, so there's a machlokas, which Tosos brings down, and says that the issue over here is not the schach, as the walls, but the question is, do we consider that the schach that you put up, is that's overhanging, is that considered to be l'shem tzel or not? Meaning you're putting up the schach on the inside of your sukkah for the purpose of schach. The question is, do you have to specifically designate it, the area that's going to be on the outside or not? And what the halacha of psala yotzei min ha-sukkah is telling us is that once you're putting up the schach for the purpose of tzel and for a purpose of schach, the inside of your sukkah, it's also considered that you put it up for the outside of your sukkah as well, and there need to be no separate designation. You can just go ahead and just rely on it there also. So it's actually both two ways to understand the first way to understand the shiloh. So that's what we have over here. Okay, so this is what we have, and this happens to be the Mechaber brings down the halacha that follows the way Rashi's understanding it, that if you go ahead and have this extra area behind with the walls and it's all covered, you can definitely have the outside sukkah. You're talking about the sukkah with the boxing ring and your kids are fighting and you want to send one of your kids to time out, and the kid's going to be like, well, wait a second, you're going to be mevatel me from a mitzvah, how can you go and do it? You say, no, you can go sit outside, you'll have your own private sukkah, and that's what you'll... So look at that, see, you know, for the frum fighters, you'll be able to go ahead and take
it. You could go ahead and sleep under it.
You could, for sure. I mean, I wouldn't rent a separate room. I wouldn't recommend sleeping in an open area in New Jersey at night, but that's... but at least Passaic, I don't know about other places. All right, let's continue with another Another two understandings. Rab of Rav Yosef Armi Tervaihu. Rab and Rav Yosef say together, what is the case that we're talking about over here? Hacha bekanim hayotzim lifnim in asukah. Here we're talking about where you have beams that go, what's it called? We have branches that go inside the sukkah. Umishcha ve'azel chadofen bahadayu. Basically, what you did was you built a sukkah that has seven, let's say, 10 tfachim on one side, 10 tfachim on the other side, and 20 tfachim on the third side. And the schach somehow is able to remain suspended in the air. I don't know how that works, but from the architecture.
Can't deliver a beam out, that's all.
Okay, there we go. So it's always good to learn this year with the builders and stuff like that. And what happens is, so you have this third wall extending much further, and it says that you could sit in that area, that extra extension. So let's say if the third wall extends an extra 3 feet, just for argument's sake, it's not a random shoot I'm giving, just 3 feet afterwards, so you can sit in that 3 feet area, even though that 3 foot area only has one wall on your side. And the Gemara says, how does this work? So we're going to be saying over here, you're going to say that area does not have an area surrounded by walls of the sukkah. So kamash malam, we're going to say no. This is really no different than the sukkahs that we were talking about at the beginning, where you have two walls and a tefach. So we're saying that once you have the requisite shear of the 7x7 and a third wall goes all the way down, as long as it's covered by schach, that's not going to be a problem either. Now the next two opinions are
it's like an L-shaped sukkah?
Kind of like that, yeah.
And one part is kosher.
Correct, yeah.
The rest is also
kosher. The rest is kosher, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so then within the L, the part that covers it up, right, so it's what's called, you have your 7x7 at least, or more than that, and then you can go ahead and sit in the long area also.
That part would only have one actual wall.
Right, but because it's coming,
still
right.
From the
correct, that's mean psal hayotze, okay. that's the halacha, that's the kula psal hayotze. Yeah. Okay, we have opinion 3. That would be Rabba Bar Chana, Rav Yochanan, Lo Nitzricha Ela Shes L'Sukah Sharuba Tzilasa Ruba Mechamasa, Umeuta Chamas Ruba Metzilasa. So here we're not getting into any strange constructions. We're basically saying over here that as far as your schach is concerned, most of your schach covers the right amount, and there's an area of schach that does not cover the right amount. So Ma'u Desema Tipasil B'Hach Porsa. Well, I might think that, if it's not sufficient amount, I might say that that's viewed as puzzle schach and stuff like that. It's a puzzle area, you can't sit in the kamash malon, that it's okay. Well, my yotze mehechsher sukkah, it goes out of an area that's not part of the area of hechsher sukkah, of the area that's confined within the boundaries or the parameters of the shear of a sukkah, but nonetheless, we're saying that that would be considered to be okay as long as most of your sukkah is covered up, that's going to be fine. Rav Oshi is going to have a similar idea. Rav Oshi Amar, Lo Nitzricha Ela L'Schach Pasul Pachos Mishlosha B'Sukkah Ketana. What are we going to be saying? We're going to be talking about if you have Pasul Schach, and this Pasul Schach is in the Sukkah Ketana. So it's meaning you have 7x7 of Schach, or of Sukkah, but let's say there's one Tefach of Pasul Schach in there. Uma Yotze, and what does Yotze mean? Yotze mitora sukkah, it's not considered to be part of the sukkah, and in that case, I don't believe it would work. So let's maybe stop over here, because it's getting a little bit late, and then the next Gemara is going to be so easy that it's going to be a pleasure for whoever gets to go ahead and have this year for next week.
You can do it again next week.
So.